This month we're going through the Advent series, and the series is called Expectations. And the reason why it's called Expectations is because during this season we look forward to Christmas coming. We look forward to celebrating the day that Jesus Christ was born. But not only do we look forward to that day, because Jesus Christ was already born, he already lived on this earth, he died and rose again already. But because he rose again, we look forward to another day when Jesus Christ will return. We look forward to another day when all of God's people will be raised back to life. And that's going to be the focus of this whole month, where we look forward to the day that Jesus Christ will return. And so, yes, we are looking forward to Christmas coming. Yes, we're looking forward to that and expecting it to come. But we are also, during this season, we're also wanting to look forward to the day that Jesus Christ returns. And so with that said, we want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're continuing through this chapter. Last week we started 1 Corinthians 15 and went through verses 1 through 11 and talked about how Jesus Christ really did rise again from the dead. He really did. And today we're going to be continuing from there, and we're going to start talking about how his resurrection relates to our lives today and how our lives relate to the future when our bodies will actually be resurrected. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12, and we're going to go all the way to verse 34. It's a huge chunk that we're going to be looking at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12, all the way to verse 34. This is the reading of God's word. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead, if the dead are not raised at all? Why are people baptized on their behalf? Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Amen. If you had a choice whether to be a life giver or a life taker, what would you choose? Again, if you had the choice to be a life giver or a life taker, what would you choose? I had a friend a while back. His uncle needed a liver. His liver went really bad. And so my friend, he made the choice to be a life giver by sacrificing his own body. He decided to go in and get a huge chunk of his liver cut out so that it could be transplanted into his uncle's body. And the liver does grow back, but it takes time. And through those months, I saw my friend go through the surgery. It was a difficult process. He had to heal and recover, and while his liver was healing, he was going through all kinds of struggles. But what he ended up doing by doing that was he gave life to his uncle. In a kind of a different way, recently I shared with you guys about how there's this old lady that hangs out by McDonald's. Some of you guys may know about her in the nearby McDonald's here. And she sits on the bus station bench, and she has all of her tissues. I don't know why she has these tissues, but she does. And one day I was going home from picking up my children, and I saw her sitting there with a bunch of other people around her. And she looks straight at me as I was about to pass by. She looks straight at me and she says, "These people are bothering me. These people are bothering me." And I figured that these people were from the church nearby. And so one of them kind of comes up to me and says, Don't listen to her. Don't listen to her. We're trying to help her. We're trying to help her." And so they're trying to give life to her, trying to give her help, give her a life, maybe, by whatever means that they were trying to do. And so maybe that's a different way of giving life, looking at the needs of this world and trying to help out people that are in need, people that are homeless. We may choose to give life with our words, or we may choose to take life with our words. Some of you guys may know this as parents, and maybe not even as parents, you guys know about just how you speak about certain topics, how you talk with other people. So, for example, I brought up parents. So when I see my child doing something well, some parents are inclined to just say, "You're doing great. Great job. And let me help you out. Maybe this is a way that you can become better, but you're doing great." Some parents will talk like that. But other parents will say, "It's okay. You can do better." Right? Some parents, and some of us, it doesn't have to be to a child. It could just be just the way that we think. "Oh, it could be better. No, that's not that great." And sometimes these are the words that first come out of our mouth. In any case, for all of us, we have a choice whether we want to be life givers or life takers. We see death all around us. We see death all around us. And when we see death, death happens because of sin. When death happens, it's hard to try to put life into that. When we feel defeated, when we feel sinned against, and we feel death around us, it's hard to put life into that. And a lot of times the way we deal with death is not by giving life into it. What we do with it is we try to cope with it. We try to put up boundaries and blockers, and we try to just deal with the death that we constantly feel in our life. So is it possible for us to be life givers instead of being life takers? The main idea for today is this. If Christ has risen to life, we can be life givers. If Jesus Christ has risen to life, then we can be life givers. Now, the way that I've structured today's sermon is not going from top to bottom. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go from verses 12 to verse 19, And then I'm going to jump over to verse 29 to verse 34. And then we're going to go back to verse 20 to verse 28, right? So top, bottom, and then middle. And the three points today are religion that leads to death, life that leads to death, and number three, death that leads to life, right? So one more time, the main idea for today is if Christ has risen to life, then we can be life givers. And the three points are, number one, religion that leads to death, and that's where our title comes from today. Your faith is in vain. Well, there's a dot, dot, dot in front of it. We'll get to that. Number two, life that leads to death. Your life is in vain. And three, death that leads to life. It's going to be through Jesus Christ. All right. So let's talk about that first one, religion that leads to death. We call ourselves Christians, and we do a lot of things that may seem like it takes away opportunities to really live life. Okay, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is when people become Christians or when people think about being a Christian, they think that we have a bunch of rules so that you can't really live life. You can't really live life to the fullest because we're not allowed to do just whatever we want to do, right? When we think about Christianity, sometimes we think about how we're actually sacrificing ourselves because we're just not living life. Like, we give a couple of hours every week on Sunday mornings, right? We could be on vacation somewhere. Or maybe some of us, we're a little bit more dedicated, and some people that are serving like our worship team, they come and they have to give up another night or another day in the week to come and practice, whereas they could be going out and having a good time with friends. Or maybe some of us, we come in as ushers, and ushers usually have to come in by 10:30 a.m. That means that they come in early, and they could be sleeping in a little bit longer, but they can't because they're coming in 30 minutes early before service, right? Because of Christianity, we're not able to live life to the fullest. How about for some of us that are part of leadership? You guys might not know this, but at least the elders and one brother comes in and we pray together every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., even earlier than the ushers, right? And so why am I talking about this? What I'm saying is that when we think about Christianity, or when other people out there think about Christianity, they think that Christianity will just take a lot of time and it'll have a bunch of rules that don't allow us to do things that we want to do, and it just takes our lives away. Our religion, Christianity, can feel like it's one that leads to death. And in fact, it would be if Christ has not been raised. This idea that Jesus Christ, or let me say it a different way, the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead needs to be a central idea in our minds as Christians. It's that important. I want to go through Paul's logic real quick in verse 12, starting from verse 12 and on. He says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, like we talked about last week, we talked about Jesus Christ did rise again from the dead. A lot of people saw him. There's a lot of witnesses, and people wrote about it, how they saw Jesus Christ risen from the dead. So Paul says, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? Paul makes this connection. If Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, then there is such a thing as a rising from the dead in our physical bodies in the future one day. There is a physical rising from the dead. But how can you say that there is no resurrection of the dead and begin to think maybe that one day in heaven we're just going to be spirits that are flying around? Or maybe some people think that there is no afterlife. How can you say that there is no resurrection of the dead if you believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead? Let's continue on in verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If there's no resurrection of the dead in the future, then not even Christ has been raised. Verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. What am I doing here if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead? My preaching is in vain. And it says, if Christ has not been raised in verse 14, our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain if Jesus Christ has not been raised. What are we doing here? If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, and if there's no resurrection of the dead in the future, then what are we doing here? We're wasting our lives. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, and if there's no such thing as a resurrection from the dead in the future, Christianity is taking your lives. It's better just to go out and have a good time in this sunny day. He goes on, he says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. You see Paul's logic here? He's saying everything that we do here in Christianity makes no sense if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead. But not only that, it makes no sense if you don't believe that there is a future resurrection of the body. A physical resurrection from the dead. Christianity makes no sense, and everything that we do, our faith, everything is in vain. We have to believe that there is a physical resurrection from the dead. Now he goes on. He says, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ has not been raised. If Jesus Christ has not been raised, then our faith is in vain. And if our faith is in vain, then we are still in our sins. And no matter what we do, we are going to be people that are not able to give life, but we are people that are constantly taking life. We are people, when we take life, we experience death. We are a people that will continue to experience death because of other people. My heart, my mind will experience death. And our physical bodies will also experience death. If we are constantly in our sins and there is no hope for us and our faith is in vain, then that's who we are as people. As humankind, everyone in this world is affected by sin. And all we do is take life. All you have to think about are world events. Think about all the violence that's going on in this world. We're supposed to be a generation with the most technology, and we're supposed to be a generation where we have everything figured out and we're striving for a humanitarian need. We're doing humanitarian things. We're fighting for justice and human rights. We're doing all these things, but there's still all kinds of violence. And perhaps we're experiencing the most violence out of all of history in today's age. That's what we are as human beings. Because we're thinking about ourselves. We're not necessarily thinking about other people. And even if we try to think for other people, there's some reason for ourselves of why we're thinking about those other people. You just have to think about it carefully. The reason why we go and help other people is so that we could feel better about ourselves. It's still me wanting to try to find life in something that's only going to lead to death. So whether we are Christian or not, every person without Christ, without this idea of a resurrection from the dead, every person is a life taker. And some of us might be saying, no, I still do my best to give life. Again, I'm going off the assumption that if there is no resurrection of the dead, we're thinking about people in this world that, like, if there's no resurrection of the dead, there's no Christ. If there's no Christ, there's no faith. If there's no faith, then we are still in our sins. In this kind of world, there's no way for us to give life. And the only thing that we do as we experience death is we put boundaries to try to protect ourselves. We try to take medicine to try to give ourselves life. But we're not really giving ourselves life. All we're doing is we're delaying death. We're just delaying death. When we put up boundaries and we're trying to protect ourselves, we're delaying death. We're going to get hurt again. It's going to happen. When we take medicine, we're thinking we're going to live on for a long time. We're just delaying death. And that's what this life is all about, if there is no resurrection from the dead. And that's why in verse 19, Paul says, if in this life only we have hoped in Christ, and there's no such thing as a resurrection of the dead, then we are of all people most to be pitied. Because we're giving so much of our time and our lives and everything. We're convincing ourselves that all of this is true and this is all good. But we're to be most pitied because if there's no resurrection of the dead, then everything we're doing is in vain. So we talked about this religion that leads to death if there's no resurrection from the dead. The second point is that not only does it mean that Christianity would lead to death, but everything we do in our lives, it will lead to death. So the second point is life that leads to death. Our lives are in vain. Now, we're going to jump over to verse 29 now. And this is where Paul begins to talk about how everything that we do in this life really means nothing if there is no resurrection of the dead. So let's look at that a little bit. Verse 29, it says, otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead if the dead are not raised at all? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? Okay, this verse, I have to start off by saying this verse is very confusing. And I cannot say that I have a definitive answer as to what this verse is talking about. And some scholars have written about all the different possibilities, and there are 40 different possibilities that one scholar has pointed out. And another scholar said it could be up to over 200 different interpretations. So I'll just start off by saying I admit I don't understand everything, every single little thing in Scripture, and this is one particular verse that I just don't know how to explain. But there is one possible explanation that I will give today. And I want to start off by saying that this verse is confusing because of the word in behalf of. Right? So on behalf of. Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? Right? So this word in Greek, in the original language, it's a preposition, and there are different ways that this word can be used. And so that's what's caused a lot of confusion. So one possible idea is that, well, first of all, I want to say we don't believe in the baptism of the dead. We don't believe in that. There is no scriptural evidence in other places for this. In the early church, it wasn't a practice that was readily accepted by the church. There were some few people that practiced it, and there weren't many. And if anyone is practicing it today, it's the Mormons, and they're a cult. They don't believe in the gospel that we believe in. And so I just want to say, first of all, that we don't believe in the baptism of the dead. We don't baptize people that are dead, and we don't baptize people on behalf of dead people. We don't baptize people in that way. What could this mean then? Well, one possible understanding is to change this word on behalf of, or I should say, retranslate this word in Chinese. Some of you guys are looking at a Chinese Bible. It says wei, so for, or for this person, yeah. But you might want to change that one word, or change on behalf of, into something like because of. Because of. And basically, if I were to read it in a different way, or retranslate that word from this verse from Greek to English, it would be, what do people mean by being baptized because of the idea of the dead, that they'll be raised again? Okay, let me say that one more time. What do people mean by being baptized because of the idea of the dead being raised again? Okay, what does that mean? Basically, what that means is that some people, they heard about that there will be a resurrection of the dead in the future, and they become so excited about this idea. It is something that energizes them, and they're like, yes, this is why I want to believe in Christianity. And they go and become baptized because of that. And maybe they miss the whole Jesus Christ part. All right, so that's one possible explanation. Here's the main idea, though. Paul is basically saying there are some people that are getting baptized for whatever reason. There are people that are getting baptized, and it would not make sense that they're getting baptized for that reason if there's no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. Right? Paul's main point is, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then it makes no sense that these people are doing this. Not only that, he goes on and he says, why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride, verse 31, in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? Basically, Paul is saying, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then why am I sacrificing so much of my life? I'm giving all of my time and my energy into this thing, into this Christianity thing. But everything I'm doing makes no sense if there's no such thing as a resurrection of the dead. His life means nothing. If there's no such thing as a resurrection of the dead, all of our lives are just leading to death. And that's it. And that's it. So then Paul goes on and he says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He's quoting something. He's not saying, let's really do this, but he's quoting something and he's saying, if the dead really are not raised, then let's just live doing whatever we want to do. If the dead are not raised, go and get drunk every day. Just do it. Doesn't matter. If it ends up hurting people, doesn't matter. Everyone's going to die anyways. Go and have sex with anyone you want. Doesn't matter. You end up hurting your spouse, you end up hurting your girlfriend or boyfriend, doesn't matter. Do whatever you want if the dead are not raised. Go ahead and set this building on fire. We're moving out of it anyways, right? Just do it if the dead are not raised. This might be a really difficult one for some of us. Eat unhealthy. It doesn't matter if the dead are not raised. Use plastic straws. It doesn't matter if the dead are not raised. Who cares about animals? Who cares about people? Who cares about family? Who cares about church? Do whatever you want. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If the dead are not raised. But Paul goes on and says, no, don't be deceived. Bad company will start to change your mind and will ruin your good morals. If you believe in the resurrection of the dead, your life will be completely different. You will have good morals. You will live according to God's commands if there is a resurrection of the dead. If there is a resurrection of the dead, then you will have purpose in this life. There is this perfect body that we're looking forward to. A life with no tears and no pain, no more sorrow, no more death. That's what we're moving towards. It's a life that is completely enjoyed. That's what we're looking forward to. But what God gives to us today as a gift is that it's not just a future thing. It's something that we can begin to experience today. We don't have to be life takers anymore. Because if the dead are raised one day and Christ has been raised, then God is working in my life through the Holy Spirit to change me. And we're able to give life to others. That's why we go back to verse 20. And in verse 20 it says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." The third point, the second point was life that leads to death. But the third point is death that leads to life. I'm not going to go through these verses verse by verse, but here's the main idea. There was a guy named Adam, the first human being, and he represented all of mankind. Because of Adam, death came into this world. Sin came into this world. And from that point on, every single human being was a life taker. Now, Jesus Christ, because of God's love, came to this earth and he became a human being. He became like one of us, except he wasn't a life taker, he was a life giver. But in order for him to really be a life giver, he had to represent humankind and he had to die a sinner's death. He died so that through his death there can be life. And when he rose again from the dead, it says in verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. When he came back to life, when the human being, Jesus Christ, with his physical body, came back to life, that's when there was hope. That's when there was joy. This month, we're celebrating, we're looking forward to how Jesus Christ came and he was born. But it's not a celebration until he actually rises again from the dead. And that's why this month we're talking about how Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And that's what gives us hope. He became the first human being to come alive from the dead, to conquer death. He became the first human being. And the Bible tells us, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you put your hope in Jesus Christ, then you get to follow in this new human kind, this new human reality of being able to experience life after death. Because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, he made a way, he made it possible for human beings to come alive again. And that's why there's hope. That's why everything that we do in this life right now has meaning. Because our life doesn't end with this earth. Our life will continue on. Jesus Christ died so that we can live. Jesus Christ died so that he was able to rise again. And when he rose again from the dead, that's what made it possible for us to have life. What does that mean for our lives today? It basically means knowing that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and has given me life, that my soul is no longer dead. My soul is no longer about taking life. my soul can now be about giving life. And so here's the application. Begin to think about, as a Christian, how can I begin to give life? How can I begin to give life to the people around me? Now, the first thing is, of course, we give life by sharing about Jesus Christ and this gospel truth, that God loved us, that he came to this earth and lived a perfect life and died on the cross, but not only did he die, he rose again from the dead. And because he rose again from the dead, if you put your faith in him, you will also rise again from the dead one day. Begin to share this truth with people. That is definitely a way that you can begin to give life to people. But it doesn't have to be just through the presenting of the gospel. Along with sharing the gospel, there are also little things that we can do to give life. Like a simple phone call or a text to say, hi, I still remember you. I do care about you. That's a way that you could give life. A visit to the hospital saying, you're not all alone. I'm here for you. That's a way to give life. Helping an elderly person walk across the street. I know that's not what we normally do these days, but that's a way to give life. Making sure that children are safe. Holding the door open for others. It's just saying, I do care about you. I'm thinking about you first over myself. Letting other people go first in line. Like when you both arrive at the same time, not when you're already in line. Maybe paying for someone's meal. Maybe paying for the stranger's meal behind you. I saw a video recently on YouTube where a guy, he bought a house for a pizza delivery guy. Just because he had the money to do it. So he did it. And I would say that, I don't know if they're Christian or not, but it's pretty cool what they did. They may not be Christian and they did something like that. And yes, maybe they're doing it for their YouTube channel and they're trying to get more views and things like that. But what about us? You know, I think for us, we can be life givers. And because of what Christ has given to us, nothing should prevent us from becoming life givers. We should be willing to give all of our money, all of our time, all of our efforts, all of our thinking, all of our brain power. We should be willing to give everything to become life givers for the Lord. It's only because Jesus Christ died and rose again and conquered death. Let's pray together.